Have you ever sent one of those text messages or been one of those roles where you send and you don't receive the response you're looking for or any response at all? Conflict, reconciliation. It's tough whether you're ready to work it out or not. It's really hard to face conflict for many reasons. Maybe it's because you made a mistake and there's issues of embarrassment that are preventing you from moving forward. Maybe there's issues of dealing with your own pride. Maybe it's because you feel like you've been wronged and you're hurt, and that hurt is preventing you from moving forward. Maybe it's because you fear your own anger or your own emotional outburst because you're not certain you could keep calm in response. Maybe you don't know what you did wrong in the first place. Maybe you don't even know that you're a part of a conflict. There can be all sorts of reasons that make conflict and reconciliation really difficult. Maybe you're not quite sure you're ready to forgive the person, let alone reconcile with someone who you think has really deeply wronged you. Reconciliation is hard. It can be messy. It's complicated. Reconciliation, it's also necessary, and it really should be a way of life for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus provides us with some essentials for our lives and what should be true for each one of us as his followers. We get guidance on all sorts of things about our attitudes, about the postures that we hold towards other people and really towards the world. We learn essentials for peace, for being bright with other people and having an impact. We get guidance on handling our anger. And last week we heard about reconciling with other people. In Matthew 5, verse 23, we're called by Jesus to reconcile with others. We're called to reconciliation here. And if you weren't here last week, or maybe you just want to freshen up on some tidbits, a few things we want to remember. First, that Jesus is a God of reconciliation and peace. Our relationships with other people should take priority because his love is seen when we love others. And this means that loving God yet staying unreconciled with other people, it doesn't really go together. We have to be serious in prioritizing that humble posture, the humble posture and the work it requires, the work that we have to engage in for successful reconciliation. So how do we move forward? What do we need to know when we are aware that reconciliation needs to occur? As a reminder, reconciliation is not the same thing as forgiveness. Not the same thing as forgiveness, but they are often related to one another and closely connected. Forgiveness is very important too. I don't want to forget that today. Forgiveness is important to do, but we need to understand the difference between the process of forgiveness and the process of reconciliation to really get it. Dr. Ryan Howes is a psychologist, and he's a published writer with the publication of Psychology Today, which is a popular piece for the world of psychology. And Dr. Howes says, forgiveness is an internal process where you work through hurt, you gain an understanding of what happened, you rebuild a sense of safety, and let go of the grudge. The offending party is not necessarily a part of that process. And Dr. Howe goes on to say that on the other hand, reconciliation is an interpersonal process where you dialogue with the offender about what happened. Exchange stories, express the hurt, listen for remorse, and begin to reestablish trust. It's a much more complicated, involved process that includes but moves beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is solo, reconciliation is a joint venture. So, reconciliation, it's complicated and it's necessary. And it's hard when we're called to do necessary, complicated stuff. So, what's next? What can we learn? This morning, we're gonna move through Matthew chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. And we hear Jesus say, "Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." You see, in the times of Jesus, if you didn't pay a debt, you were thrown in jail. And if someone didn't come to pay the debt for you, it was quite possible, almost likely, that you could die in prison. Now, today, we might not be getting thrown in jail for our every disagreement, but we do need to accept something. We need to accept that even small hurts or wrongs or conflicts of all levels, they're all a bit more easily mended, more easily reconciled, when we work to restore peace quickly, rather than let things fester inside, or we grow distant, or even worse, indifferent to people. We should be prompt in beginning our attempts to restore that relationship with others through reconciliation. In verses 25 and 26, they really can be practical advice and guidance. We should be quick to reconcile with our enemies, with our adversary, with our opponents, depending on which translation you might be looking at. We should be quick, because the longer things remain angry, the more trouble that can come about. You see, reconciliation, it's not just for the people that you love. We don't just work to restore only the relationships with our family members, our friends, our coworkers. We are also called to reconcile with our adversaries, our opponents, our enemies. It's for everyone. Treating others, even those who you would call your enemies, with loving kindness, with gentle spirit, offering forgiveness, and that genuine willingness to reconcile, we're called to share that with everyone. We're actually commanded. It's not a subtle suggestion. It really is a command. And later in chapter 5, verses 44 through 48, Jesus says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The messages of this world may call us to hate our enemies, to be defined by the differences that you have from other people, but King Jesus teaches us otherwise. We're called to be different. Not like the tax collectors, unlike the pagans, we are called to be the salt and light of the earth. Being different, standing out from the crowd through our love for other people. Don't miss this, and I've said this before, this isn't just for the people we like. This is for everyone. Hebrews 12, verse 14, reminds us to pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. We are to pursue peace with everyone. Remember, Jesus calls us into his ministry of reconciliation. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, and it says, "All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." One of the tools that I sometimes use when I begin to study for a morning like this is this book, this really small book. And it is the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. It's really light reading. If you want to borrow it, you're welcome to. But as I was starting to prepare for this message on reconciliation, I was captured by something that was included. And that was, "So too the church was commissioned, not as a cozy fellowship of the like-minded, but as an agency of unification to go out into all the world with Christ's reconciling message. I'm going to say that one more time. So too the church was commissioned, not as a cozy fellowship of the like-minded, but as an agency of unification to go out into all the world with Christ's reconciling message. We are all, you, I, all of us, all believers are commissioned to reconciliation. We must accept this truth and know that doing so takes great humility. It takes a posture of humility. It takes love, a gentle spirit, as well as a willingness to seek out harmony and make peace. Seeking and making, seeking harmony, making peace, those are verbs, and they indicate actively doing, actively engaging, seeking out harmony, making peace, not passively waiting for it. So we can also seek to be intentional as we strive for reconciliation when we're looking to create the harmony with people and the world around us. We should commit to the work of reconciliation as we know that Jesus himself prayed that his followers would get along with each other. It's important stuff. And as we're intentional in this commitment, there have to be a few things that we can know so that we can confidently face the conflict that is inevitable in our lives, so that we can confidently work to reconcile with the opponents we will meet, because we will all face conflict and we will all experience opponents in our journey. So you can know Jesus and let him know you. You can know your role. You can get to know others. And then you can know when to get to work. In order to have a brighter impact with others, even our enemies or opponents, and really live as we're called to live, we must know God. In order to live the way that we are called to live, we have to know God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. As we learn of his word, as we learn of his truth, as we learn and experience his unfailing love for us, we draw closer to him. We draw closer and we know him more deeply, and he affords us a personal relationship with him. He's sovereign, he's good, he's almighty, and when we continue to better know Jesus, we strive for Christ's likeness in our own behavior, in our own choices, increasing our faith and reliance on him rather than this world. We have to be honest though, because if we don't engage in regular rhythms and routines that keep us connected and close to the Father, we get comfy. We can get comfy really not liking someone. We can get comfy just kind of avoiding the conflict or the hard conversation that has to happen. We get comfy. And it's easy to drift. And then we find the work of reconciliation no longer a priority. But remember, Jesus calls us to the ministry of reconciliation. And as his ambassadors, we need to be ready to communicate. We need to be ready to do the work. It's vital to let Jesus know what is in our hearts. And our minds as well. And we can share these things. We share our hearts openly with him in prayer. Through regular prayer, we can talk to Jesus. We can learn of his truth as we spend time each day studying the word, encouraging others to do the same. Because in this relationship with the Lord, like many others, there's mutuality. And as we pray, we have the opportunity to go before him humbly, openly, and I truly encourage you to do it honestly. Our prayers should include regular confession about what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in our souls. We can be open and responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in and through us. It can help us know who we are in Christ as we strive to do our best to restore relationships and reconcile differences. As Christians, we're called to be ambassadors for Jesus. As a Christian, you're called to be an ambassador for Jesus. And part of this means living the call in a way that our own lives reflect Jesus. That our lives would reflect his message. And it's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility that stays with us even in the face of adversity. And responding to disagreements at any level with our loved ones or with our enemies. And this is hard work, especially when you're angry, when you're mad and worked up. It's hard when you're hurt and sad. But it's important. And a significant part of knowing our role becomes defined as we identify our own stuff. As we define our own actions, our behaviors, our choices, our words, all of those things have contributed to the conflict at hand, whether you're guilty or not. It's key to understand that we must accept responsibility for ourselves. We must accept responsibilities for our imperfect selves, even when we don't think we are guilty as charged. This includes examining and owning our own behavior, especially when we've contributed to hurting another person, even when that wasn't our intention. I don't know about you, but I have certainly hurt another person even when I didn't intend to do so. And I still have to own it. This can look like denying your tendency to self-rationalize what you really meant. Can look like simply listening and acknowledging what that other person is saying or feeling. Matthew 7:5 says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Looking at ourselves first, it's critical. Looking at ourselves first is so critical before you address another person. This also means you might have to let go of that priority to be right. And I like to be right. Admittedly, it's probably something I really should work on very regularly, because kingdom priorities aren't about you being right or wrong. Kingdom priorities are not about you being right or wrong. They are about making things right and seeking out harmony. It's communicating well. It's listening well. And sometimes it means you're finding the good in another person. Finding the good in another imperfect person like ourselves. Additionally, part of our role is to offer forgiveness, to offer mercy and grace. Because we should always remember it's been freely offered to us. As Jesus paid the price for our reconciliation through his work on the cross, we must allow that same style of love and forgiveness to overflow through us and be reflected in our lives, even in those times when we're resolving painful, difficult conflicts. We're to seek harmony, not duke it out like we might want to, not retaliate in anger. Proverbs 19:11, it gives us a good reminder. Sensible people control their anger. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Our role as we pursue restoration and reconciliation with others, it really includes offering forgiveness, controlling our anger, and showing grace and mercy, just like we've been given. And yes, sometimes this really does mean overlooking a wrongdoing or a fault of another imperfect person. One critical part of our role to understand, sometimes it's not possible to reconcile. That can be really hard to accept. And sometimes it's not possible to reconcile because we simply can't control other people. Controlling other people, it's not our role. What our role is to do your best. Do your very best to reconcile, to bring restoration. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Let's read that together. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. That's your role. Do your best to live in peace with everyone. You can feel overwhelmed by the conflict and division that is in our world because it seems like it's everywhere. You could be overwhelmed by some conflict that you might be experiencing with your family, maybe in your personal or work life, and probably through your social media life. We can and we will continue to face conflict. It's one of the few things in our lives that we can be pretty certain of. We're going to have loved ones that we have conflict with. We're going to be in conflict in belief or values with people around us in the community. And when we face division, many of us want to clam up, go inward. And then some of us become a little bit bullheaded and we don't want to listen to everyone. Maybe we're more inclined to kind of duke it out with our words. Messaging all around us wants us to fall into a lens where we see the world as us versus them. And that's dangerous thinking. The truth is, we're not always going to agree with everyone. We're not going to agree all the time with our fellow Christians or our family members. We're not going to agree all the time with our friends, our coworkers. We're not going to agree. We can accept that. But this conflict and the disagreement, it doesn't mean that we cannot live in peace. You can disagree with someone and still live in acceptance and have harmony. Disagreement does not have to equate to hatred. We really can love those who are unique and different from us. We get to work when we get to take the time to really understand and get to know other people. When we get to know their hearts, their desires, we get to better know their intentions, we get to better know their needs. And it's then, once we've listened and learned, that we can better understand and know our brothers and sisters. Once we've listened and learned, even if we've been wronged, we can then work to gently restore and speak the truth in love. So let's own it. Many of us want to be right. I don't think that I'm the only one. I really don't. And as we face disagreement and conflict, it can be tempting to seek to explain ourselves, to avoid truly listening to our opponent, to listen in a way that doesn't allow us to actually get to know them. We have this human tendency to want to come out on top. And sometimes we're driven to duke it out. But you see, as followers of Christ, that doesn't actually work. We don't always have to be right, but what we are called to do consistently is to be loving, to be graceful, forgiving, speak truth in love, and be kind. And as we get to really know someone, we're able to see, we're able to better see, in fact, that we may have been wrong. We can see that maybe there are really multiple ways to achieve a goal. And sometimes we simply agree to disagree. It can be that simple, agree to disagree and still be in harmony. We have to be willing to listen, to learn, to demonstrate a genuine consideration and care for other people in our attempts to get to know and love others. And sometimes we do this with people that are new to us, people we don't know well. But sometimes we need to be open to getting to know the perspective of one of our loved ones. And this can look like patience. It can look like holding your tongue. It can sound like, I'm sorry, or I forgive you. As we strive to reconcile with others and pursue peace, it's important that we take the time to get to know them. It's also critical that we know when to get to the work of reconciliation. And while we talk about many things being urgent, it's really important to be intentional in praying over the situation, discerning loving next steps, and processing your own role in the conflict. Those are all urgent pieces of the reconciliation process. Don't delay. Those important initial steps we get to work right away on them. Simply put, don't wait, get it started. Start doing those things because the time is now. And in many senses, rushing to confront a person in that moment might not be the best step, but all of the work that leads up to that step, it's vital. We need to be engaging in it in our lives every day so that when the opportunity presents itself, you can work with the other party to restore the relationship. We truly need to make people and relationships a priority, and John said the same thing last week. People and relationships need to be a priority for us in our everyday lives and the way that we live them. There are a few things that are truly guaranteed on this earthly life, and one of them is that time goes by quickly. It stands still for no one. Our earthly journey here, it doesn't compare to our eternal destiny and home. And as Christ followers, we're all waiting. We're all awaiting a greater day of trial where we stand before God, where we're accountable for all the things that we have said, all the things that we have done. And Matthew 5, verses 25 and 26, where we started today, advises us to make peace right now. Don't wait until the trial to seek out harmony. Do your very best to make peace with those around you. Make peace with your brothers and sisters now. Settle your debts. Confess now. It's absolutely inevitable that we're all going to face conflict. It's hard to even imagine a world that doesn't include conflict. Through Christ's work on the cross, every single one of us can know peace and restoration in our relationships with others. As sinful people, we can know that God made right with us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." You can overflow with the same style of love and forgiveness that's been given to you. You truly can. And the process stretches us. It requires us to humbly and obediently submit to God and His will for us. It takes prayer. It takes practice. But the intentional work of reconciliation can redeem and repair what has once been broken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, thank you that you are peace. Thank you for your work on the cross to free every one of us, God. We're so thankful for your work and the ministry of reconciliation. We seek to be more like you in every way. We surrender our hearts and our whole being to you. Free us of anger and hatred. Heal our hurts. Jesus, be with our enemies. Be with our adversaries. Heal their hearts, Lord, and be with them. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.